we're going to uncover another code of the universe today. Remember who gives the codes of the universe? It's God, isn't it? And so this is the, I'm excited about this one. This is one of the most powerful codes of the universe that we're going to talk about this morning. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. Amen. Our youth team's going to Guatemala in March to work on the school and be a blessing. They can go where it says they can go. Then me and Pastor Kitty's going to go hold a pastor's conference in Guatemala in May on the beach. Suffer for Jesus. I can go where it says I can go. Now here's what I want to do. I'll let you practice your love. You know, when we're talking about, we're going to talk about, here's the code this morning. Love never fails. That's a code of the universe. Love never fails. In fact, if you want to fail-proof your life, just live it in love. I mean, it says that's pretty hard sometimes. I don't know what some of you think. If I hadn't married him, I might have could have done it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But love never fails. If you don't fail-proof your life. But here's what I'll give you an opportunity. We got all kinds of things coming up. Next week or two, our missions director will be talking to you about a project and all we got coming up. But here's what I challenge. I say, Kenny, we're going to Guatemala, and we're gonna minister to about 30, 32 pastors and their wives. And we're just going to feed them and encourage them. We're not getting anything heavy on them. We're just going to lift them up all weekend long. And I said, but here's the deal. You got to pay for your own way if you're going with me, and you got to bring $1,000 to invest.
All right.
He said, well, I can do that. I can probably do more than that. So he's talking to his church, and I'm talking to you all. Just pray about what you'd want to give and invest in a pastor's life just to make their day. And we'll see what God does. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. This is the love chapter, isn't it? The love chapter. How many sometimes you don't feel very loved? Let me give you a hint. If you don't feel very loved sometimes, here's what you do. You sow love. See, isn't it amazing that we don't feel very loved, so we get angry? And guess what we reap? More anger. It's a vicious cycle. We don't feel very loved, and so we pity, and so we sow pity, and what do we get? More pity. Remember last week? Whatever you sow, that we also reap. So it's up to you. That's a choice. It's sowing and reaping is a choice. And that's why we said this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Or I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a choice. So it's love. If you don't feel very loved this morning, I just encourage you to go love somebody. And I was telling one of our members this morning, I said, you know, here's the thing. If you love somebody that's really hard to love, guess what God calls that? A sacrificial gift. That's where the big dividends come in. Boy, what a stupid man, huh? What a stupid man. God, you love me, don't you? Yeah. So if they're hard to love, he says it's a sacrificial gift. And when you give a sacrificial gift, guess what you get? A big blessing. So see, and now if we want to wimp out and don't love somebody that's hard to love, then you don't get that blessing. So we miss blessings. But it tells us in this chapter, it's in fact, I just believe this. If you want to know where you stand in your love, right where you are today, in fact, every once in a while, y'all just go back to this. Because I do this I'll preach on this subject two or three times a year. Because we all drift from that mainstream of love, and it's so powerful. And so I try to preach on this at least two or three times a year. But this is a great passage to go back to and say, how am I doing in the business of loving? It doesn't take long, but it says, look in chapter 13, verse 1. Excuse me, this morning, being a little sinusy. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. So he's saying to us, you know, if all of our we talk about love, but we don't do love, then we're just spouting off words. You know, we can talk about, oh, how good God is and how we love Him, and then just sit and basically do nothing. That's not love, is it? And he's saying, you know what? You can talk about it all day, and we should talk about loving God and loving people, but we should act on those deeds. When we're talking about love and doing something in Guatemala or Oklahoma City or wherever it is, we need to put actions to our words. That's love in action when we begin to act on that. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I think to me, this group that he's talking about here, and they have to be full gospel people. They have to be people that truly believe that God is still working and operating in the gifts today. And I think this verse, you could revert back to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 through 23, he talks about a people in there that said, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name and do all these wonderful works? And God said, well, no, you didn't. What you did do is practice lawlessness. You didn't live the code, the word of God. In fact, I never knew you. That's how he looks at them. I think personally, when we're born again, or when we're born, we're already in the book of life. I think everybody starts off in the book of life. That's, you know, people, they have different opinions, but I think we're in there, and we have a choice to serve God and remain in there, or we have a choice to serve self and Satan or whatever else we want to serve, pleasures and whatever else, but not God, and get blotted out of the book. See? But he says to them, I never knew you. In other words, when he blots you out, it says, if he has no recollection of you. That's my personal opinion, personal views of how that works. But I do know there's a book, and I think your name's in it until you choose not to serve God. You choose to serve self. For instance, everybody in this world's been hurt, haven't you? There's nobody been hurt. You've been hurt. You just don't know. You just and I'm that way a lot, because it takes a lot for me to know if you're trying to even hurt me. And it's a gift. I'm telling you, it's a gift. Now, you women, most of you can pick up on somebody trying to jab at you like that. But here's what I think. I think, man, everybody loves me because I'm such a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's just pride. That's just, I don't know what that is, but I just believe that. Why wouldn't you love me? I'm so friendly, and I just love you. And if I love you, why wouldn't you love me? We've visited several different countries over the years, and people say, oh boy, over there, people are not very friendly. Everywhere I go, people's friendly to me, or I don't know it, if they're not. Because I just go up to them, how you doing? I'm Jack, and a lot of times can't even speak the language, you know. We've been to Paris and different parts of Germany and then Japan, but you know, I just shake their hand and we just jabber back and forth, and you know, it's, I just think, boy, they really liked me. They're good, aren't they? But that's what I try to sow. I try to sow that, you know, I love you, and so if I love you, well, you automatically should love me. But everybody doesn't love me, and that's okay. Everybody didn't love Jesus. How many knows if Jesus can't bat 1,000, neither can you? In fact, he said, they persecuted me, so they will persecute you. So he already gave us warning that there are times of persecution. Mike was talking about this morning getting beat up, you know, by his foreman. And I thought, well, that happens. But along with that comes reward if we love that individual and pray for them. So we can look at it as two ways. When you get beat up by someone, you can say, well, what's wrong with them? And they hurt my feelings. Or you can say, you know what? I'm not just talk here. I'm loving people. And I don't know what's the matter with you today, but man, I love you. I just love you. You're having a bad day. You know, I know it's not me. If somebody's mad, I know it's not me. I mean, I'm not saying I can't offend someone. I had to apologize last Sunday. Remember? I apologize all the time. It's easy for me to apologize because I know I mess up all the time. And I know that asking forgiveness is the way that God said, here's the routine. You mess up, you ask forgiveness, and they give it to you or they don't. But I will forgive you and just keep loving them and go right on. It's a good, I'm telling you, if we operate in love, we're going to have a good life. I'll show you what it produces here in just a little while. But it says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so there's those in the category of good deeds, you know. He said the Pharisees would set out and they would give alms and they would pay tithe on every little thing they had, and they would pray long prayers and just, you know, all their giving. And he said, they don't even know me. So charitable deeds, charity, or love, however you want to put it, covers multitudes of sin. And love never fails, but here's the thing. You can do all kinds of good deeds, and if it's not motivated by love, then you don't have anything, he said. Even to the point if you gave your body to be burned. You know, I'll stand for Christ. I'm not happy about it, but I'll stand. It's like I heard a story the other day about a priest and three other different religious leaders was on a ship, and I didn't catch the story, so I don't remember where they were from or what era it was, but it was I caught the punchline, which was powerful. They were on this military boat, and it was going under, and they were all there handing out these life preservers, and it was sinking, and said they had more soldiers than they had preservers, and so they took theirs off, and they gave to the soldiers till they ran out, and they all locked arms, the clergy and the priests, and they went down praying with the ship. And I told Jan, I said, when I heard that, I said, I wonder if there was two or three of them in there when they saw, you know, or one or two when they saw the other preachers taking their vest off, thinking, do I have to do that? You know, and there's a consensus there, and it's, you know, they're looking at you like, are you going to take your vest off? And so the atmosphere sometimes is all I'm saying that we get caught up in, and we stay in, and we'll determine how much you love. You know, if you're around a bunch of complaining people, watch out, your love meter may go way down. Because you may just find yourself complaining instead of loving. And how many knows that can really cost you the promised land when you decide, I'm going to gripe and complain instead of love. Are you with me? Now, and then it says this, and here's the description. You want to give a description? You want to see how your love is? For all you that suffered this week, love suffers long. And is kind. Are you kind? Well, as you go through your suffering? If you do, that's love. He says in this, it does not envy. Well, I wish I had their job. Well, I wish I lived where they live. Well, I wish I could be happy as they are. You know, whatever we might envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. We got any puffers in here? You get mad? What's the matter? Nothing? You don't have a people problem. You have a love problem. So until you throw away excuses, you'll continue to say nothing. But when you don't, you know, and it's okay, you know, that we're all going to get our feelings hurt. We're all going to get trampled on from time to time or beat up by the foreman, whatever it may be. That's life. But the thing is, you don't have to stay there. You don't, you know, you be angry and sin not. In other words, get over it. I got a little deal on my desk and it just says, get over it. Then it says, love does not behave rudely. Were you rude this week at any point in time? Now, and again, it's not their fault. You say, well, they messed up. Well, you don't have to be rude. How many knows you can punish people? I didn't, you know, you can ask my kids. I mean, they'd upset me, but I tell them, I put my kids in love. I mean, I didn't stay mad at my kids. What happens is parents get caught up in the mess with their kids. You know, they get caught up in the moment. You know, kids are bad, and you know better than that, and so it escalates, and the kid gets mad, and you get mad, and you stay mad, and it doesn't. But you know, when I was training horses, I didn't get mad at the horses. I just corrected them. I knew that I let them know that if you don't do this, after you understand what this is, it's going to cost you. But my heart rate wouldn't go up because I thought, you know, you can tell if you know how to train horses and dogs and things. I've trained bird dogs, but you can just tell if they know or they don't know. I give you an example. We was at ice cream Wednesday, and I told Summer, I said, we have to gang up on Addison. Addison's 3, and I said she's become a whine bully. You know what a whine bully is? Some of you've got some of them at home, don't you? What they do is a whine bully says, I will whine till I get what I want. And she was a whine bully Wednesday. And I told some of us, we'll help you with this, but we need to gang up and put our efforts together. You know, isn't it funny over something this short and you have to gang up? But I said, and what she was, she's sitting there, and we got her ice cream. It's a ritual. Every Wednesday we go get ice cream. Every Wednesday I tell her, don't get pink ice cream, get French fries. You like French fries? No, on pink ice cream. So she gets a little dish of strawberry ice cream, and then as soon as we hit the table, she takes one or two bites. She looks at the other kids that don't like ice cream as well as they like French fries. They'll get French fries. I want some of those. Well, we tried to tell you. And she held up. This Wednesday was classic. She held up one finger. I want one French fry. Her brother, Ryan takes a French fry and gives it to his sister. She looks at the French fry. Am I telling you? Well, he wasn't there. I'm telling you the truth. That's a God's honest truth. Her brother takes another one and puts over there. She goes, I'm telling you, I hope they play a rerun of that in heaven. And I thought, you, my little granddaughter, are a whine bully. And so y'all pray. We need wisdom here. I said, she either needs a SWAT or we need to take her out and remove her from the premises. You know what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about loving your kids enough to say you won't be a whine bully. God loves us enough. He said, I won't leave you a whine bully. If you want to whine, I'm going to whip you. Those that God loves, He chastens. Which means in Oklahoma terms and in the translation, He's going to give you a whooping. Okay? And so it says, you know what? It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. So if we're rude during the day, you know, whatever, it's not a people problem, it's a love problem. Well, if you get a hold of that, it'll change your life. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. It's amazing to me how we seek our own in the smallest thing. Some of us just thrive on getting the closest parking spot. We'd cut off a grandma to get a close parking spot. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. When we need to walk anyway. We ought to just park way out in the North 40 and walk. You know, we need to walk. It's good exercise. But I'm just, you know, just little things that we'll just... It does not rejoice, verse 6, in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. You know, it's not quick to say, well, I don't like that. And then, you know, and here's what if you don't do this, I'm... You know, it bears all things. It says, you know what? I think one of the things that about growing older is that there's so many things that really doesn't matter. Do you notice that as you grow older? Yeah, you used to have battles that you just don't even go there anymore. That's a little bit of maturing in love. To saying, you know, let them be who they are. Let them right where they are. You know, if it's not sin, it's not rebellion, it's just different. We don't have to. It hopes all things. How's your hope? How's your hope for life and good things and a good day and a good marriage and a good job and a good life and a good whatever? How is your hope? If it's not high, it's not a they're not treating me right problem. It's a love problem. Loving God. When you're loving God, and He says, here's it, I'll jump ahead a little bit. This is synonymous. Obedience and love is synonymous with Jesus. You look in the Gospels several times. It's just love and obedience is right there. It's synonymous. And that's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? Let me give you an example. Jerry, if you'll do everything I'll tell you, I'll be your friend. Yeah, did you see her head? See? Now that's hard for us to get a hold of, isn't it? Why is that hard for us to get a hold of? Because you know that I am way less than perfect. And that I'm not always right. See? And so that's why we don't have friends and we don't go around saying, you know, Haley, if you'll do everything I tell you, to obey everything I tell you to do, I'm going to be your friend. You think, no, you're not. And by rights, that would be that's what you should say. Because we're here on a fallible playing field, aren't we? We're all fallible human beings. But here's what God says. God looks at you and says, Haley, if you will obey all my commandments, I will love you and I'll be your friend. That's what He said. Now, if you like it or don't like it, that's what Jesus said. And the reason that statement is accurate when He says that is because He's way up here. He's infallible. He makes no mistakes. And He's got mercy and grace that we can't even fathom. He's got love that we can't even fathom. And so He looks at us and He says, Jack, if you'll do everything I tell you to do, obey my commandments, I'll be your friend. And here's the deal. He's not only infallible, but guess what? Every command that's in the Bible, He gave it to me and to you because He knows what's best for us. He knows that when He said, don't do that, He knew that was not good for you and me. When He said, do this, He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy and rest. And so here we are. Some were obedient today and they're in church where they should be, keeping the Sabbath holy, and some are out resting. And they forgot the holy part. And how many knows it's the fourth commandment? It's not the fourth request. Keep it holy. So here you are, obedient people, loving Jesus. Because you're in the house of God at the appointed time, and you're loving Jesus. And He looks at you and He says, now this is obedience. So from your obedience, I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell in you today. I'm going to make my home in you. That's what love is. And that's why it's so powerful. Let me give you a scripture. I almost jumped out of my chair the other day when I was studying this subject. In Deuteronomy 5 and 8, if you want to turn there, just mark the scripture down. Over toward the very first in your Bible. Deuteronomy 5, 8. I thought, I don't think I ever, you know, other than the great sacrifice of God giving His Son, I never thought about how powerful love is. This love He's talking about in this verse of Scripture, this is what's available to you. And you think you can't change lives. We were watching what was it the other day? Anyway, my son said, you know, that guy's putting a mark on history. I forget what he had done, but it was just somebody that made world news, and he's put his mark on history. Isn't that cool? I said, yeah, that's cool. Well, you think something powerful. Watch this. Deuteronomy 5:8. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, earth beneath, or in the waters below. Now, an idol is anything that's more important to you than Jesus. Could be anything that's more important to you than Jesus. You give it more time, you give it more money, you give more effort, you give more affection, you give more whatever. So it could be anything. Could be your motorcycle, your golf clubs, your shopping, whatever you just abuse and put before God. It says, you shall not bow down to them nor worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So, just like love is powerful, hate's powerful, isn't it? You ever see a hateful old family and their kids are hateful old kids and their grandkids are hateful old grandkids? This is what he's talking about. They get caught up in this environment without love, and all of a sudden they become whatever that is, and it's repetitious, and it goes on and on and on and on, and we're the only ones that can break the cycle. And we can only do it if we stop blaming others. Thank you. Now listen to this in verse 10. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I thought, that is awesome. You know what he's saying to you? He's saying, Mark, if you will straighten up and love me and show me that you love me by keeping my commandments, not only will your son and your grandkids, but for 1,000 generations, this is going to impact them in some capacity. I can't fathom that. That's powerful, isn't it? Can you name me one other thing that's that powerful in the Word of God? 1,000 generations. Just blew me away. And then I got to thinking about it. I thought, he's telling me, see, Jack, if you will love Jana when she's easy to love, and don't tell her, but when she's not, you'll tell her, I know you will. Take that off the tape and we'll say, she's getting old and she don't know it. How many knows? And probably she's not easy to love because she lives with me, right?
I think you deserve each other.
Oh, some marriages are made in heaven, we deserve each other. I agree with that. But he's saying to me, remember what he said to the husbands? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So that's what he told us. I thought, well, that's a rip deal. But what about the women? He said, well, they have a submission issue. Because they think they want to be boss, you know, because they got the nesting syndrome and this is my nest and I'll tell you what to do. And so he said, I'll deal with them on a submission problem. I said, all right, I guess that's fair. But he says to me, if you will love her unconditionally like I love you and gave myself for you. Did you know I loved you when you were a rank sinner and were worthy of hell? I loved you. Do you know when you had all wicked thoughts or doing this or that and breaking my command? I loved you. And he's saying to me, now if you'll grab a hold of that and by my grace and by my power and you'll love Jana like that, not only does it affect me, but it affects my kids that grew up in the atmosphere. And you can question my kids, but they grew up in a good home atmosphere. If they say any different, I'll beat them up. No. They did. They grew up in a good atmosphere. In fact, when my son was little, if me and Jana ever raised our voice just a little, y'all stop fighting! Because he wasn't used to that. I mean, he just like, you know, if Jan said, well, I'm not going to, you know, So he was very protected, you know, and they grew up in a, and I wouldn't allow them to get in their mother's face and, you know, go off on her if I heard it. That's, you know, you have an opinion, but you don't have a nasty opinion. I wouldn't tolerate that in our house. Because I didn't do that to her, and she didn't do that to me, and we didn't grow up in that. But he's saying, if you set the atmosphere and love your family, they're going to be a model up here that they'll get a hold of, and they'll say, that's the way a family should look, and they'll take that, and they'll plant it to their family. And somebody will look at that, and they'll plant it to their family. And somebody will look at that generation, and they'll plant it for 1,000 generations. That's powerful, isn't it? And so every time you choose to love, you could affect 1,000 generations. Let me tell you how powerful that is. We went out with some friends last night on a little business venture, and we came back, we're sitting at home and talking. And she said they were out in California, her brother had got married. I thought it was a very interesting story, especially last night before I preached this message today. And she said her brother got married, and it was an Italian family. And said this was a big family that had like 50-something people there. And said when she walked in, she didn't even know this family. She walked in, and she saw this family. she said, and just the, she said, I don't know why, but she said, I just begin to cry. And they said, oh, what's the matter with you? She said, I don't know. She said, I felt so silly. But she said, I was just tears. And she said, the little grandpa come up and got my hand. She said, are you okay? And he started crying because he was crying. And now my friend, she grew up in a home, and she said, you know, it was pretty dysfunctional. Her mom had left her, and her dad was military and was supposed to take care of her. And then, you know, she left the kids with a babysitter for several months, and just went through a terrible story about her. She said, I figured out why I was crying after I got away. She said, I've never seen what family could look like. Here's a smart, intelligent woman that looked at family, that had love in it, and said, that's what family is. And just overwhelmed her. She said, when they have a visitor, we were visitors coming in, said, all the kids that were in college had to come home for the weekend because family, a new family's coming in. She said, I felt sorry for the kids. I said, you shouldn't feel sorry for those kids because that's family. That's what family does. She said, they all sit around the table and they all talk and eat and visit and just love on one another. And she said, that was just awesome. And said, her brother said, now you see why I married this girl? I love her family. And I thought, that's what he's talking about. To 1,000 generations. And I'm telling you, if the devil can destroy the home, he's got us. He's got us. We're whipped. The powerful thing is, he says, you know what? Love is a choice. You get to choose if you want to love. I told one of our other members this morning, I was talking about atmospheres, and she said she had been beat up as well. And I thought, isn't this something? This is timely, isn't it? And I said, here's what I know. When I'm in an atmosphere that's tough, I need to ask God, why am I here? Did you plant me here to change the atmosphere? Or do I need to just walk off? Sometimes he would say, when you've approached a situation and they reject you, you shake the dust off your feet and you walk off. But there are other times when God will place you in a hostile environment, a whole lot less than perfect environment, because he says, I want you to be the environment changer. See? Now, I want to tell you, if you're a sissy Christian, you'll just walk off with your little feelings hurt.
This didn't mean to me.
Yeah, one, two. It just means, you know. But what? I gave her an illustration. I said, let me tell a little story. I said, when I started this church years ago, 22 years ago, I said, I went to work at Love Box. And at Love Box, when I went to where the supplement income until they could afford me full time. And so they said to me, what would you like to do, young man? I said, well, I don't know. What, do you have something that you can just go around from machine to machine? And they said, you know, we do. They call that a rover, roamer, whatever it was. And I said, that's what I'd like to do. You have not because... Yes, so they asked me, so I thought, well, they're asking, so I told them, and so I got that job, and then I landed on a 19-year-old's machine. I forget what it did. Each machine did something different, but he had a really hot temper, 19 years old. His name was Charlie, and Charlie would cuss like a sailor every time the machine would tear up, and so every time he cussed, I'd say, hallelujah. He'd say, murr, 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 and just blame, blame, and I'd say, praise God. And I'm not telling you to do that. That's not a real good strategy, but that's what I did. That's what I did. And so finally I looked at him one day, and he just went off, you know. And I said, you know what, Charlie? If it would help, I would curse this machine with you. Yeah, I mean, if it help, but it won't help. I said, all it does is frustrate you, and then I have to listen to you babble on. And I said, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go find the supervisor, and we'll see what he thinks we need to do. If you don't want me to work on your machine and don't want to have a good atmosphere over here. Because I don't have to do that. See, now I needed this job. Let me tell you something. Don't let the devil whip you because you need a job. Now, I know some of you, that's already scared you because you think your mate's going to quit their job. I'm just telling you, God never said, is He your supplier or not? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And no company is your supplier if they're abusing you every day. Now, you may need to ask God, are you setting me here for a purpose? But I think He set me there for a purpose, you know, to supply for my family, number one, and to be an atmosphere changer wherever I was. And so I said, you know what? I'm not working in this atmosphere. I don't have to. I said, we'll go get the supervisor. He'll put me somewhere else, and you won't have to listen to me, and I won't have to listen to you. I said, but if you want to, I'll pray with you, and I'll be your friend, and we'll get along, and we'll work hard to correct what's wrong. And from that day on, he never threw a tantrum. He never cussed anymore. He never did any of that. In the same factory, you know, they had a man named David there. David was a forklift driver, rough, tumble, beat people over the head. In fact, the men would come in from the bar the next day after work and they'd have knots on their head, and I knew David had got a hold of them. God looked at me one morning and said, tell David every morning that I love him. I said, okay. So the first several times I told him, he cussed me like a sailor. I'd say, David, God loves you, man. And he'd just cuss me to no end. And I never changed my attitude because I knew it wasn't about me, it wasn't about him, it was about the will of God being done. And God gave me the power to love a man that would curse me. Because I'm not all that mild, usually. But I'm telling you, he just gave me I just knew that was my assignment. In fact, he got really mad at me one morning, and I asked God in sincerity. I said, if he beats me up, do I still have to tell him tomorrow? Because, he was a brawler, you know. And I never got in a fight all my life. Not a fist fight. Never. Yeah. I had one guy swing at me, and I hit him. I didn't hit him in the face. I hit him in the chest with a palm. He swung at me. I went, bam, and I hit him and knocked him down on the ground. I said, don't do that. Now, that was all the fight we ever had. That was the only time I ever... So I never fought. You know, I don't want to fight. I always like to reconcile. That's part of my gift, is a reconciliation, to bring and restore people. That's what my gift is. So anyway, I told David every morning, and he cussed me every day. We get in the break room, 50 guys sitting around. I said, David, God loves you, man. And he cursed me with all the guys sitting there. I look over at the table, because we as Christians, we'd sit usually how they congregate together, you know. And I say, I think he's getting weak. But I never change my... Love does not get puffed up. So I'm just saying, God may have put you in that atmosphere to change lives. Later on, David surrendered to me. And he said, preacher, someday I know I need to get right with God, and I will. I said, David, that is awesome. And you know what David would do every day from that point on? I said, David, God loves you. That's all he did. Wouldn't say nothing. Just a half a surrender, I guess. I don't know. That's what he'd do. Years later, I saw David out on West Oklahoma City at a cafe. I said, David, you remember me? And he said, oh man, that was a bad time in my life. And he said, you know what, the preacher? He said, now I'm driving a Sunday school bus and picking up children every Sunday and going to church. I'm telling you, love is powerful if you use it. But we won't lay it down whenever it gets tough and say, you know what, I don't have to use that love on you. I'll just go over here and have myself a pity party. And you can do that. God doesn't keep us from doing that, but there's no power in that. Now, if you're getting physically abused, that's a different story, okay? He never said to stay in physical abuse, but and maybe not even verbal abuse forever, but he may have placed you there to change the atmosphere if you use the power of love. You know why most people like me in a meeting? Because I can change the atmosphere. Really, I mean, you can tell I'm not the sharpest guy in the meeting usually. All you smart people, what are you grinning about? But they know that I'm president of a little homeowners association right now, and I got a call last night coming home. I'm talking about love here. got a little committee. We got a welcome committee. Now, what is a welcome? If you come to our nation, you're going to get cookies, baby. And a friendly face. That's what they're supposed to do. And so I get a call on the way home and visit with my friend. Jack, we delivered cookies to this family and we went over some of the rules with them. And guess what? See, in our addition, that says, in our covenant, it says, don't put your antennas, your dishes on the front of the house. You know, put them on the back where they don't show. They're covenants, and we all agreed to these. We didn't make them up, but, you know, you submit to authority, right? And we took that over there the other day, and now they've got a satellite dish up on the front of their house. Should we not? I think we just need to quit this welcome committee. What do you think? My first thought was, how old are you? Now I remember he's retired. We should just quit this, you think? I said, no. I don't think. I said, tell the welcome committee to go and smile and deliver cookies and welcome people to the community and let us worry about the rules. I think that's a good idea, don't you? That sounds like a good deal to me. That's what we'll do. Click. Now, I'll tell you something. All I'm talking about here is saying, you know what, I choose not to get caught up in your hype, in my hype. Because we all have opportunity to elevate and get caught up in hype. But the Bible says, if you are operating in love, you don't produce that anymore. Come on, you need to give me another one here. I'm not getting... Amen. Thank you. I know it's tough. Deuteronomy 30. You're in Deuteronomy? Look at Deuteronomy 30. You want to love God? I'm going to teach you how to love God right here. How do we love God? Well, I tried to love them, Lord, but you know how they are. Is that what he said? No. Do you think he created somebody with a mistake? I think he didn't mean to create. I think they're here on accident. No. Some of you, born out of wedlock, or, you know, you've been told, well, you're an accident. Well, you're not. You're not. You're fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of God. You look like him and act like him sometimes. You breathe like him. You know, there's life in you. How do we love God? You ever tell somebody, I just don't know how to love you? Last night we were talking with our friends, and Janet said, sometimes he'll say, well, just tell me what you want. She said, I told you! And they thought that was really funny, because we don't get it. So sometimes even people you love a lot, you don't know how to love them. But here's how, if you want to love God, here's what he said. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before you today. I've set before you today life and good, or death and evil. Did you know that's before each one of us today? I mean, we all got a choice. It's set before you. Life and good, or death and evil. God just set it out there. In the Garden of Eden, what did he put? He put the tree of knowledge of good and evil and said, don't touch it. I'm thinking, well, why didn't you just put the stinking thing there? Like putting a toy in the middle of the room and telling a kid, don't touch that. God said, no. It's got to be a choice. Or it's not love. So he says to us, he said, I've set death and life, good and evil. You get to choose. He said, here's how you serve me. In that I command you today to love God. Love the Lord, your God. You know what that means? That means you set your affections on God. How many knows? Every one of us in this room is affectionate about something. We're passionate about something. He said, set that on me first. And I'll produce some good stuff in and through you. Now, if you're going to do that, he says, here's what you do. He says, number two, to walk in his ways. That's what God says, and that's how God measures us. We can say, I love you every morning. I tell God all day long, I love you. I love you so much. I sure do love you, Father. I just tell Him that all day. But that's not what impresses Him. What impresses Him is when I act on what I tell Him. And so we can just be like the Pharisees and be repetitious with our prayers and all of our stuff. But what really touches His heart is when we go and give our love away and bless somebody else. He says, walk in His ways. How many knows this is His ways? Right here, this is His ways. In there He says, you want to use the... In fact, I think love is God's favorite the weapon of choice. You got an enemy? He said, pull your love gun. I'll shoot you full of holes with love. Huh? Not I'll shoot you full of holes with my glare. You know, we got that one down. I'll just shower you with love. That's whenever we needed a Savior, we beat Him and we cursed Him. We plucked out His beard and we put thorns on His head. And He looked at us and said, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He said, you can't change my love for you. Who do you think you are? He just kept loving you, loving me. See? And then He says, okay, you want to love God? Do that. Even He said, even the tax collectors that go around robbing people, He said, they love their friends. But you want to be like me? Love the person next to you that's hard to love. Love that family member just grates your nerves. You know, that boss that just chews you out. Just love them. Go in tomorrow and say, you know what? I know we've had our disagreements and I apologize for everything I've done, but can I tell you something? Today I want to make a declaration. You can never change my love for you. I've decided to love you all of my life. And forgive me for whatever I've done to offend you. And if you ever need me, I just want you to know I'm on your side and I'll love you. And if they don't say anything, you don't care. You just planted good love seeds. And tomorrow, guess what? They're going to start coming up. Somebody's going to walk into you and say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, would you forgive me? I just want you to know I love you. You say, well, how do you know? Because that's what God said. I'm planting sacrificial love, so sacrificial love's coming up. That's why everybody loves me. See, I know they don't, but I believe they do. If you believe they do, eventually they will. God love me, make heaven. Walk in His ways. Here's something else. Keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. So He said, this is just 101 stuff. He says, if you want to say you love God, walk in His ways. You know, you set your affections on God first, and then you begin to walk in His ways. In other words, you begin to behave like Jesus instead of like Jack. See, that's what He's saying. Don't act like Jack anymore. Act like Jesus. And then He says, keep His commandments. You know, obey His holy word. And then finally He says, listen and obey the voice of God. Did you know God's still speaking to you if you'll just listen? Deuteronomy 30:20 says that if you will love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice. His voice. So that's what I got on to my Pentecost friends about in class the other day. At the school, I said, you know, here's the problem I have with most Pentecostal theology of healing. It's about hearing the voice of God. When Jesus was around the pool, there's one person that God was ready to touch. He said, would you be made well? He said, and God didn't even have any faith other than He was by the pool. But He said, this is your day. Rise and walk. He walked away from the pool and He never touched anybody else as far as we know. And I told my Pentecostal friends, I said, now, here's what I've experienced in Pentecostal services is if that kind of a healing takes place, they shout and they say the glory has fallen and start laying hands on everybody around them. And then there's a lot of wounded people that didn't get what they thought they were going to get because the excitement was there. That's why Jesus warned them. He said, be careful about what you get excited about. be careful what you celebrate. He said, because I want your heart to be like my heart. My heart celebrates when one sinner comes. That's when heaven has a party. See? And sometimes we get on to the Baptist group for getting so excited about a salvation. Well, that's just the beginning. Well, it's a pretty big beginning to go from heaven to hell. It was for me when I crossed over. If I got nothing else, that's pretty exciting to me. So all I'm saying is, you know, it's not about Baptist, Pentecostal. We're an interdenominational church, and we just love God and try to respect how you believe and all. But I'm just saying, we shouldn't leave people, when we're trying to love people, there shouldn't be so many wounded people left behind. Because we didn't take time to find the mind of God. We're trying to operate on the Word of God without the mind of God, which is love. And God loves these people all around the pool, but there are issues and there's things in their life that we have to find. Just like He did that day that said, okay, I'm ready to love this one today. And so He walks over, excuse me, pardon me, I got to get over here to this guy. And he's walking around and he says, would you like to get up? Would you like to be made well? Well, sir, every time I try to get the pool, somebody beats me to the pool. Pastor, somebody help me with the pool. Shh. This is your day. God don't even know it, see? Now I told my Pentecostal friend, I said, now what you would have been saying, you don't confess that. Jesus never gave him theology. He never gave him any theology. Now you change your confession right now. You hear me? Me and Jesus, we love you. We're going to help you. But you need to start. Jesus said, get up. See? Because he loved. And here's the key, and this is what I argued with him about. I said, here's the key. You need to love them enough to do your homework before you get there. In other words, some of these things that said, they just don't come but by fasting and prayer. And most of us don't want to do the fasting, and we don't want to do much prayer. We have intercessory prayer here every Sunday morning, and there's usually two or three that come. I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying it's not a popular meeting. But if you want to eat, how many knows we know how to eat? Now, if you have a chili day, I'll come to that. See, I'm doing a little pastoral rebuke here, okay? I'm just saying, if we want the power, we got to do the preparation. And so we had that argument the other day. And well, it wasn't really an argument. They said, guilty as charged, Pastor. It's about loving people, isn't it? Well, let's do read that. Matthew 5:43. God is, here's the weapon. You want to operate in power? Here's what He said to do. This is how you operate in power. This is how you demonstrate that the love we confess to God. Matthew 5:43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus says, I say to you, prayer of faith. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies. I don't want to love them. Well, you don't have to. But you don't get the blessing, and I won't come dwell in you and make my home in you. Well, then I might want to love them. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now listen, he said, I'm telling you to do that because, not because of them, I'm telling you to do it because of you. And that's what I love about this. Listen, all these commandments he gives, it's not about them, it's about you. When somebody hurts you and you love them, it's all about you. It's all about you. And how you can get healed. How your mind can get healed and your heart can get healed and you can get free. It's all about you. God said, love them because I love you and I want to dwell in you and I want to empower you. But you have to take the first step and say, and here's what you do. I learned this years ago. One of the most freeing things in my life is to look at somebody hurt me and say, I love you. And I felt like a big old hypocrite. I thought, no, I don't. That's what was going on in my mind. I hate you. You're bad. You know. And I said, I love you. And then I said, Lord, bless them. And I don't mean that, but bless them. I mean, this is a battle I had when I learned how to operate in the power of love. Is like I felt like the biggest hypocrite in the world. That's what I felt like. But you know what? In actuality, I was walking by faith, not by feelings. Just shall live by faith. And I began to confess this over them. I began to agree with God. And all of a sudden, He said that you may become the sons of your Father in heaven. I became a son of God. When I yielded that stinking thinking and my what I would do, and I yielded to Him, and I began to speak over that individual what God had said. He took a group of people off and false pretenses, doing false doctrine, and many of them came back and it was restored and healed, but then lied and said that, you know, Pastor, run us off from this church. The only thing I said was this: we need to sit down and talk about your theology with the elders and discuss the of what you're teaching. And so he said, we kicked him out of the church and left and took these people. And it really, I was hurt because I thought, man, he's going to destroy lives. And he did. He bloodied a lot of lives, and some came back, and most of the relationships were restored. And he went off and closed a church and closed another church. And it was awful. But that's where God taught me. When people are coming against you, if you'll do what I say, I'll make something of you. Because in yourself, you can never make anything. Because your feelings won't let you. Your reasoning won't let you. It's not reasonable to tell your enemy, I love you. Somebody that's hateful to you. Is that easy? That's hard, isn't it? Used to be. It's not hard anymore. Because he said, I'll make a son of God out of you. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You ever seen your old sinner neighbor get just as much rain as you do? That's because he put it in writing here. Sometimes it gets more, doesn't he? For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, I heard a guy say, if it says therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Therefore, you shall be perfect. You shall be complete and whole, just as your Father is complete and whole. When you look at your enemies and you love them, and you pray for them, and you bless them, and you love them. He says, that's when you begin to look just like God. Well, he don't deserve my love. I know. God knows. And it's not about him, it's about you. Well, she don't deserve what I know. It's not about her. It's about you and God and what He's going to make of you. I've run out of time. Father, sometimes love is so difficult. But you've shown us in your word today that it is so powerful. That if we choose to love you, and that is simply obey you and walk in your commandments, that our love could impact 1,000 generations. As they see someone that truly, genuinely loves. That's what we would like to be. And some of us, Lord, are a long way from there, but that is our desire. Help us to get there. God, as we speak love over enemies, as we pray over them, as we hear your word and go out and feed the poor, and we're motivated by love to meet a need of someone, or we're motivated by love to do a good deed, and because we prompted us and we're quick to obey. You said that you would come and you would take up residence in us and you would abide in us. And you said, then how we'll know is this. You said that all of a sudden the love and the Holy Spirit that's in there, you said, it'll just begin to come out. It'll come out with love coming forth. It'll come out with peace. There'll be joy that comes out. God, the devil's tried to rob us of our joy, but it's our fault because we don't love, and so we don't experience joy. We experience sadness. We experience confusion. We experience a lot of things, but it's not love. And you said, church, the only way to get that is to love. To walk in the commandments of God and to walk in obedience to His voice. So Holy Spirit, today we give you permission to come and speak to us and help us walk in love. We want self-control. We want kindness and peace. We want the fruits of the Spirit to come forth because of love and life and the Father's living in us. And so help us, God. Forgive us today for operating on feelings and pity and rejection and hurt and whatever else we carry around all day like a ball and chain. Forgive us. Free us, oh God. Replace it today with love. As we ask you to forgive us, replace it with love and with your supernatural love, God, that we can't have on our own, but we receive your love today by faith. Today, Lord, fill us full of your love. Pour in this Holy Spirit, that super abounding love of Jesus Christ. You said, Jesus, that you came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. We want that, Lord. And we know the way to get it by your word today is just to love you by obeying your word. Help us to line up with that. Help us to put our feelings down by faith and pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and say, I live by the Word and I love by the Word and I will receive the blessings and the hope and everything that comes with living and abiding love. Do it, Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. While Christians praying heads about, I'd like to say this prayer. If you're here today and you're away from God, you're not serving God with your whole heart. Or maybe you've never made a confession of faith. Today, Jesus is reaching out to you, and this is your day. And so if you would, you don't have to, I don't embarrass you. I just want you to lead you in a simple prayer that says, today, I want to change my life. I want to turn it over to Christ. I can't live like this anymore. I want a better way. I want you to repeat after me. Just say this from your heart and mind. You can say it out loud if you'd like, but just say it with sincerity to Jesus Christ. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and life. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Apply your blood to my heart. I receive your forgiveness. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me of all my sins, Lord, and make me whole. Now, Lord, you are my Savior, and you are my Lord. I will obey with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole today. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, would you just wave at me real quick? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. God bless you. Let's go walk in love.
Amen. As we prepare to dismiss, I just have a couple of announcements. I want to remind you guys of the Valentine banquet this Friday. See Millie or Philip out there in the hallway. They also have some things out there. They can give you some information on that. And also this Friday, the youth are doing a concert over here at Ground Zero called Selah. And then we have five bands this Friday. So if you know young people, they don't have to be young, but young people. We've got the, oh good, they had a slide up there. Thank you very much for that. I'm one of the youth pastors here, and so I just want to spend 30 seconds telling you about our weekend. We took our youth group down to Falls Creek and had a winter retreat, and I just want to thank some of our young leaders who helped out, and we had Haley and Aaron and Ashley. They did some of the family groups along with Spencer, and then Scott, or Tubbs as we know him, but Scott Davis and Andrew, and it's an amazing thing for Eric and I to look at our young people leading these discussions, leading the groups as we prepare them to be leaders, and as they help teach us things also. But we're very proud of them and what they've done to participate and help out. And also want to thank all of you for your prayers over that as we went down there and our safe journey down, our safe journey back, and also for Cindy for getting our supplies and food. Eric and I talked and said if it was left up to us for the food, we'd be in trouble. So thank you, Cindy, for the food and the supplies for that. Last week I challenged you guys as we closed also to try and worship God fully so we don't betray him with that. And I just want to tell you, I hope each and every day you did things to worship God and show him true worship. And today as you worshiped in our praise and worship and listened to a wonderful message, it's just encouraging as we learn things and do that. Let's go ahead and stand as we dismiss in prayer. And as we get ready to dismiss in prayer, we want to invite all our visitors, our newcomers and guests to meet Pastor Jack down front here as soon as I'm done praying. And he has a gift for you and would like to meet you. Father, we just thank you for the message today, God, that love is a powerful tool, God. And I just ask this week that we challenge ourselves not only to worship you fully, God, but to show love and share love. And God, it's not always through words that we speak, but sometimes just through a simple action. So God, let us do everything we do as though unto you, and let us show love through our actions and words. God, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.